Hopkins. Bryant for the win.
Interviews from your favorite local coaches and athletes.
He's getting to the basket of will, and he's hitting that three-point shot with some consistency now, and he's just in a groove right now where he's pretty well unstoppable.
Hall of Fame and legendary guests.
I was driven by loving to play, liking the challenge of being an NFL quarterback, but after 18 years, I was 1 month short of 39 years old. It's time to go.
Analysis and insight on the latest national sports topics. Live from the Auto Farm Studios, it's Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM.
Welcome into a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy to be back with you. And lined up on the show today, a lot of local sports. It's July 21st. Yesterday was the first day of practice for the golf squads here in the Castle Country. Local sports is back. We're here at the end of July. We talked to Coach John Famalo on the show yesterday about some of the offseason workouts for Emory High School, the football team. And again, they're going to kick off the season here on KOAL in less than a month. But golf is actually going to begin next week. We're 6 days away from the start of the 2020 fall high school sports season. And I'm all for it. It's been a while since we've had high school sports. We'd have to go back to, really, March. It's been a long time coming. I'm ready to go. We're going to continue to talk local sports today. We'll preview some things during the local sports update. But we're also going to catch up with manager Dakota Cincinnatus of the Helper American Legion team. That season is officially done. Remember, Price did not play this year. We had the 17U team for Helper, the 19U team as well. The 19U team wrapped up the season over the weekend after suffering back-to-back losses. You can get the complete recap of what went down over the weekend by visiting CastleCountryRadio.com. And the season's a wrap. Now, every kid that played on that team was a member of the Carbon High School squad. And so we'll catch up with manager Dakota Cincinnatus next segment. We'll recap the season. I think it was vital for these kids. I mean, they got, what, three or four games in, something like that, in the high school season. And so you look ahead to next spring when I believe we're going to have high school sports back. At that point, it would be almost a full year without these kids getting an at-bat. You see, that's how important this summer program was when really taking a look at everything. And so we'll talk to Dakota about that next segment on the show. Also today, I want to start talking about the NBA because Thursday, we will have a Utah Jazz broadcast. It's a scrimmage game, but the team only gets three of those. And just to make sure we got all the kinks worked out for the return of the season, you know, the Jazz get eight seeding games and then they'll move into the playoffs. We're going to bring you the play-by-play call. David Locke and Ron Boone will give it to us on Thursday. Looking at the NBA restart, legacy talk. People love legacy talk. I hate it. I hate legacy talk. But I guess we can have a conversation on it today because people love it. People love talking about this. And I think right now, without there being actual games, we have to rely on more abstract talk. So let me ask you this. Which player needs an NBA championship? Which player? The restart of the season is up and coming. Looking at the legacy of those squads that are still going and some of the players, the key marquee star players, that bring in those TV revenue dollars, which one needs an NBA championship? Because I'm of the mindset that whoever gets a win this year, there's no asterisk next to it. I don't believe there is. And I feel the same way about Major League Baseball. I don't believe we're going to look back on it and say, nah, that one doesn't count. And the reason I say that is because it may be even harder this year to win a World Series or to win an NBA championship. Plus, in the NBA, we had 60 games, right? We have a large sample size. Baseball, it is a little bit different. It's a real condensed season. The NBA is already off and rolling. We are resuming the season. And I think that's important to remember. So we have all these stars, and the NBA is such a one-on-one game. We put so much emphasis on individual players. Who needs a championship or who needs another championship to solidify their legacy? Think about that. We'll have that conversation a little bit later on in the show. Is it Giannis? Is it James Harden? Is it Russell Westbrook? Is it LeBron James? I know he's got three of them, but I think you can make a legitimate argument. Is it Paul George? A lot of star players out there that have a lot to gain. Anthony Davis is another one. A lot of star players that have a lot to gain with the season restarting in Orlando. So we'll have that conversation a little bit later on in the show. If you're on social media, you got to look at what the courts will look like in Orlando, and I'll tell you, it looks sharp. I mean, the NBA has spared no cost, and while it's definitely intimate, it doesn't look like an empty gym. And that's kind of what I was concerned about. You know, you watch Summer League basketball. For instance, the Rocky Mountain Review. We can't use the Salt Lake Summer League now. We have to go back to the Rocky Mountain Review because those guys ultimately played in a gymnasium with not very many fans in the stands. Salt Lake Summer League, I mean, they break attendance records every year, so you can't use that. You got to think back to when Summer League wasn't big. That's what I was anticipating this looking like. Doesn't look like that at all. They did a tremendous job with the game used courts, NBA logo in the center. You can check those out on social media. Also today, we get word that the Utah Jazz are going to pay homage to Jerry Sloan on their jerseys with the restart. Beautiful. 1,223. That's going to be on the jerseys because that's how many games he won as head coach of the Utah Jazz. But it did make me think. We have an NBA basketball season with memorial patches on jerseys for Commissioner David Stern, Kobe Bryant, and Jerry Sloan all in one season. Think about that. 2020 has just, it's been sad, it's been bizarre, but you pay homage to some legends, and those are three legends as we gear up for the restart of the NBA season. So we'll talk NBA basketball a little bit later on in the show. We have a lot of NBA basketball to get into throughout the course of this week. Speaking of the NBA, the Memphis Grizzlies, who are battling it out for a playoff spot, they will be without Justice Winslow. He's going to have to sit out the remainder of the season because he suffered a hip injury during practice yesterday. Now, they envisioned him as a really important and promising piece to this young core when they made a deal with Miami, and I believe he is going to be, but he has not played a game for the Grizzlies. Memphis has decided to be very patient with him, and they want to get him back at full season or at full health next season. But really, when you look at what Ja Morant, who is hands down the rookie of the year, there's no question. Ja Morant is the rookie of the year. When you look at what he has accomplished with really not a lot of supporting pieces, adding a healthy 24, 25-year-old Justice Winslow next year, a 6'6", 225-pound forward, I mean, that's only going to help the growth of this Grizzly team, who's hit a rebuilding stage. I mean, they have. They had three of the highest paid contracts in the NBA at one time. They had Marcus Gasol. They had Mike Conley. They had Chandler Parsons. They don't have any of those guys anymore. And so it's a full rebuild mode for this Grizzly squad. They have the right pieces in place with Ja Morant. I was excited to see what would happen with Justice Winslow, but that's not going to happen. Let's move over to the NFL, and Michael Bennett, veteran defensive end, Super Bowl champ, three-time Pro Bowler, he is calling it a career. He's going to retire after 11 seasons in the NFL. He made the announcement on Instagram today. He said, quote, "Retiring feels a little like death of self, but I'm looking forward to the rebirth and the opportunity to reimagine my purpose." Michael Bennett was a stud when he was healthy, when he was playing. This was a guy that I didn't necessarily always agree with his actions or the way he approached things off the field. But when this guy played football, he was good. 34 years old, went from New England to the Dallas Cowboys last season in what became a sixth-round pick. He had 6.5 sacks and 32 tackles. In addition to the Cowboys, you remember seeing him play for Tampa Bay for a few seasons. He had a nice run with Seattle and Philadelphia as well. He went to the Pro Bowl in each of his final three seasons in Seattle. One of those late bloomers. But that guy could play football. So again, calling it a career, Michael Bennett saying that he is done from the game of football. That's a quick look at what's happening in the national sports front. It's Tuesday, which means we're 2 days away from the return of Major League Baseball. It is coming. Talking about local sports and getting back into that realm, we're not that far off from getting national sports back and really pushing away the abstract conversations. Today, we're going to focus on that. Local sports and NBA basketball talk all on the way. It's a Tuesday edition of Drive Time Sports, and we are live from the Auto Farm Studios right here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
There's no crying in baseball!
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things. Play ball!
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Holy cow!
The American Legion baseball season came to an end over the weekend. Remember, Price did not play this year. Helper eased through the opening round of the state championship tournament, but then did run into some problems Friday and Saturday, eventually suffering a season-ending loss Saturday afternoon. We're going to talk about that and more, recap the entire season with manager Dakota Cincinnatus, who is joining us right now. And Coach, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I know the season's over, and it's kind of bittersweet because these kids did get some work in, and I know that was the important aspect going into to the Legion season. Yet at the same time, a sweep of Mountain View in the opening round and then back-to-back losses to Harriman and Stansbury. You never envision a season ending like that. So there's pros and cons, I'm sure.
Yeah, I thought we played extremely well in that playoff series against Mountain View. I thought we were, heading in the right direction going into the state tournament. Going 2-0 last year, that's something I told the kids this year I did not want to do. Obviously, you never want to lose the first two games. You never want to lose any game, but going 2-0, that stinks. So especially after a long summer and putting the work in that you do, you deserve a little bit of reward at the end of the season. So heading into the state tournament, I thought we were in the right place. I thought, we were going to have a good showing. We did okay game one against Harriman. We just ran into a team that they're a really good team. They've got two kids, the Klein kid and the Atkinson kid, that are both coming down here to USUE to play for Coach Haney down here next year. And they've got a pretty good team top to bottom. They hit the ball well. They field it well. They pitch it really well, and they don't make a lot of mistakes. So we ran into a really good team first game. We didn't do anything to hurt ourselves. We just didn't swing the bat extremely well. Ended up losing that game. Turning around playing Stansbury the next day, I thought we had a better showing. We hit the ball a little bit better. We just had a couple balls that didn't bounce our way, a couple errors, a couple tough catches that popped out of our gloves. And then we just struggled to play some runs. We gave up two home runs that kind of hurt us. So, a couple things that if you take away, it might be a little bit different ball game. Stansbury, we might be playing yesterday and today. So, but overall, it was a good year. It was fun to coach those boys. I had a good time. I'm just thankful that we even got a season in.
Yeah, and really, when you look at the playoff bracket, you and I talked about this last week. You kind of throw the seeding out because we had 35 teams throughout the state, a lot of good teams. This was completely different than any other Legion season that we have seen. And you guys get a 4 seed right out of the gate in Harriman, and then you have to play a 5 seed in an elimination contest. Now, I know you have to beat everyone to begin with, but it just seemed like the competition level seating-wise was just unique this year compared to past years.
Yeah, it really was. In past years, you kind of got more of a kind of a structural setup from top to bottom in the league. And then, this year with everything kind of being jammed into June, we had regions and teams playing in different places against different teams they might not have played, and having to travel and do different things. But there's no excuse. It's exactly like you said. You've got to beat everybody in order to win. And I thought both those teams we played were definitely beatable teams. They were both good teams, but they were definitely beatable, definitely teams that I thought, if we would have showed up, done a couple things different, had a couple balls go our way, it would have been a different story. But definitely unique seeding. There's no doubt about that. You play a couple different teams in your league and you win or lose a couple different games, and it could either bump you up 10 seeds or it could drop you 10 seeds depending on, how everybody else is doing in the Valley. So, it was a little bit different this year, but overall, still I feel it was very competitive. It was still, great teams in that tournament, and it was a fun time.
If we go back to the tournament itself, you give up 6 runs to Stansbury, 5 runs to Harriman, if memory serves me right. Those are typically games you put yourself in a position to win, right? You just got to swing the bat. So when you look at what went wrong in the plate, it's kind of a reoccurring theme. Every time you guys lost a game this year, it was seriously what you did in the box. Didn't really have much bearing on what you guys did in the field. It seemed like you were solid defensively all year.
Yeah, like I said, in that Stansbury game, we had two errors in one inning that put two guys on, then we gave up a home run. you know, we had two outs. You take that home run away, take three runs away there. It's a 3-3 ball game at the end of the game instead of 6-3. So you never know what could go on, you know, what could happen the rest of that game. So that was unfortunate there. You know, the Harriman game, we'd get a guy on, you know, move him over, and then we'd get two pop outs or something. We just had a struggle, you know, plating some people. And so, you know, it was just a case of, yeah, exactly, you know, the same thing that was happening the entire season. We just struggled to put some guys on and get them over and get them in. So that's definitely something that we focused on all summer, definitely something that we're going to have to get better on come high school season and then also next summer. So, but I still thought, you know, we did things the right way. We played ball the right way in those two games. It was just a little bit of a struggle at the plate.
You mentioned getting better for the high school season, and ultimately that's what Legion ball is all about. And so there's two stats that I've really become a fan of when it comes to high school baseball. That's quality starts from your starting pitchers or quality at bats from those guys in the box. And this was a conversation I had with your dad going back over the last couple of years. If you guys are logging quality at bats, did you see an improvement in that regard throughout the year?
I did, you know, and it's something though at the beginning of the year, you know, with them only getting five games in at the high school season, it was a struggle at the beginning of the Legion season. When we started to get together, we started to do some batting practice, some live pitching off and live hitting off of the live pitching. I saw a gap from where those kids are usually at, obviously, when the summer season rolls around. But I thought as the year went on, you know, the things that we were preaching, you know, for them to do at the box, I thought they started to buy into it. We started to see some improvement. It just really hurt to not have a high school season. You know, the amount of at-bats that a kid gets in a high school season helps to prepare them for that summer and kind of get them in a groove so that when the summer season rolls around, they just pick up right where they left off with high school. But, you know, this year with them getting so few at-bats in the high school season, we pretty much made this what the high school season would have been and worked on the things that they would have worked on in the high school season. So in order to prepare them for next year. So, but I definitely saw, you know, some improvements. I saw some guys do a lot of great things. I saw some guys be really, really coachable, you know, and work on things on their own and also in practicing games. And that's another thing, you know, with the amount of games that we had jammed into June this year, it wasn't a typical summer where you get, you know, 2-3 practices a week. There was times, I mean, we had 1-2 practices and then we'd go, you know, 2-3 weeks without a practice. So it's hard to do some of those things and work on some of those things that you're seeing in games when you have no practice time. You really just have to work on them, you know, the next game. And it kind of makes it tough when you're not able to slow it down and you know, talk to guys, you know, in the middle of at bats or middle of batting practice in practice. So, but I thought the guys did a good job. I thought they were really coachable. I thought they, you know, the guys that were there wanted to be there. They wanted to work on things in order to get better for next year. So, you know, I hope this summer season helps. I hope it puts them in the right direction come next high school season.
Yeah, I guess it's all mindset, right? And going back to the quality at bats, I mean, as a spectator, you probably get caught up in the game. All right, if a kid pops out, it's a bad at bat. Well, that's not necessarily the case. So teaching those kids the difference between, you know, a 2-3 pitch at bat and an 8-9 pitch at bat, especially when you have pretty strict pitch counts, I mean, that's something that they have to learn moving forward in the high school season.
Yeah, summer's a big, it's all about learning. I mean, my dad's always made it that. I'm trying to kind of adopt that idea of, you know, learning experiences. I let my catchers call pitches for the pitchers all summer. I don't call pitches for them. I don't call locations for them. That's something that they do. I think it helps them learn the game. I think it helps them learn situations, you know, and then come high school season, they know the type of adjustments they need to make depending on hitters. You know, it helps them learn hitters, tendencies, and all that. So, and it's the same thing with us in the box. You know, we've got to learn when to be aggressive, when not to be aggressive. You know, you're down a few runs and it's the sixth inning. Maybe I'm not going up and swinging at the first pitch curveball. So it helps them to learn those things. It gives them extra reps that they're going to need, you know, in order to be successful in the future. So it is. It's a big learning experience, and that's what summer ball is about. So I'm just glad that, you know, we had, like I said, we had a season, we had games that we could work on and get better. And I saw that from my guys all summer. So I'm proud of them. I'm proud of the way that we played, and I'm proud of the summer that we had.
Dakota Cincineros, manager of the Helper American Legion team, our guest right now. Coach, if we go back and we look at the course of the season, one particular set will stand out, and that's Salem Hills. Those were two games that you guys very easily could have won, and if you win those games, there's a great chance you win the region, and maybe you're a one or a two seed going into the state tournament. I know it's hard to dwell on a couple of games when you play over the course of a month, month and a half to 2 months, but going back to those two games, I mean, is it fair to say that was kind of the turning point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, those are two games that I, exactly like you said, variously thought that we could have stole from Salem Hills. You know, I think that we were the best team in our region this year. I just think there was times where, you know, we physically, mentally weren't there at the baseball park. We just weren't ready to go. And we struggled, you know, we didn't have a team that could just show up to the ballpark and turn it on and 10 run somebody and then leave the baseball game feeling good. It was a team that had to be there. You know, everybody had to show up. Everybody had to be ready to play. Everybody had to be engaged in the baseball game in order for us to get a win. And when we did that, we were really successful. And when we didn't, you know, it showed and we lost some baseball games. So, but those Salem Hills games definitely were two that we very easily could have won. And like you said, you know, you never know what could have happened after that. You could get a two seed or something going into the state tournament, end up playing, you know, a 22 seed or whatever it is in the state tournament. And then, you know, makes your road to the state championship game a little bit smoother. But it didn't happen. You know, it didn't happen. And that's something that I hope these guys can learn from. I hope they can take those things that, you know, those instances in those games and see the big picture of that and use that in the high school season. You know, and just learn that they need to be to the baseball park mentally ready to go every game. You know, it doesn't matter who it is. So, you know, we lost to Springville early in the year, and that hurt us too. I think that was our first league game, and Springville was a team, in my opinion, you know, nothing against them. I just don't think that they deserve to be on the baseball field with us. They just weren't the same caliber of team. But like I told our guys, you know, that's baseball. You have to show up no matter who it is. Any team can beat you on any day, and that's the beauty of baseball. So that's something I hope that they, you know, can, like I said, take the big picture, look at the big picture of those things, and take that and use that for the high school season to come and be better in that aspect.
You're still new to this as far as being a manager or a head coach, and we could talk to a coach that's been around for four decades. And in your short time, you had to deal with something that I hope nobody ever has to deal with again. And none of these coaches who have been around for 3 to 4 decades have had to deal with. And that's a worldwide pandemic. And I think it gets overlooked as far as the mental aspect for even these kids that are playing. I mean, it's mentally trying for everyone involved. You as a manager, the kids that are playing. I mean, it's a health crisis that people are thinking about, regardless of how minuscule or how big it is, you know, depending on the area that you're in. It's something that you had to deal with. Was that tough from your perspective, or was it kind of a non-factor?
You know, I saw it creep in here and there. I would say overall, you know, I feel like from our point of view, our mindset, it was something that we weren't super worried about. But, you know, it was definitely the beginning of the year trying to figure out whether we could have a concession stand, whether we could host our helper tournament. And, you know, that brought in a lot of money for our team that we use, you know, for things. So those things, I feel like it affected those things more than anything. You know, we were concerned about having people in the stands, if we were going to have them, you know, separate when they sat. All kinds of things with that. So, you know, we had to have people in the concession stand wear masks and gloves there for a while. And then obviously we have them wear gloves all year. But the masks, you know, that was something that we were worried about having to have them do and then have people wear them in the ballpark. You know, and that just kind of takes baseball and typically, you know, your experience at the baseball field and just kind of changes it. And it just kind of makes it, you know, different really. So but it wasn't something I would say on the field we were too concerned about. I mean, it was weird not shaking teams' hands after the game. That was something that didn't really sit well with me. It was just kind of weird, you know, you'd get a cheer at the end of the game and, you know, and then go to break and go, you can't shake the team's hand, you just have to tip them your hat. So that was kind of weird. But overall, I didn't really feel like it affected the way, you know, that we ran things on the field or the decisions we made on the field. But I know, you know, it affects a lot of people and it affected a lot of people in our area. And it was, you know, something we had to take concern or, you know, worry about. And it was concerning there for a while and it still is. So we had hand sanitizer in both dugouts for teams to use. And we, you know, tried to make that available to people in the stands as well. So it just kind of made the summer different and made baseball different than it usually is. And we, you know, we still see it happening and, you know, on the pro level and everything. So, but I would say, you know, on the field, it wasn't something that typically changed a whole lot for us, but it's definitely taken its toll. It's definitely on people's mind. And, you know, hopefully it's something that we can get figured out and move forward with in the future.
We'll end with this. Final assessment from the 19U and 17U team. As a manager and someone that oversees this program, what was your final assessment in the summer of 2020?
You know, I thought it was a good summer. I think, you know, looking back, it gave 33 kids an opportunity to play baseball, and that's what that summer program's always been about. That's what it'll always be about. You know, we had 19-year-old kids clear down to 14-year-old kids playing baseball this summer for helpers. So it was something that I think, you know, it was great for them. I was appreciative of, you know, the amount of effort and hard work that got put in, and, you know, top to bottom, 17-year-old team and 19-year-old team. You know, those 17-year-old kids were out at our helpers tournament for the 19-year-old kids the entire time, chasing foul balls, helping me with the concession stand stuff, helping me with tickets. You know, whatever it was, they were there. They prepped the field every single game. So I'm really appreciative of those kids and the hard work that they put in, not only, you know, during their games, but also to help us with our 19-year-old games and, you know, make those run a little bit more smoothly. So I thought it was good. I thought it was a good summer. I thought, you know, it gave those kids an opportunity to play, gave them a chance to get better, you know, and I hope that those kids will all take this summer, step back, look at it, see what they need to work on, see what they can use going into their high school season in order to make it a successful high school season next year. I think this team that my dad's got coming back at the high school level, you know, I don't think that they deserve anything less than a state championship. I think that's something that's very reachable for them. It just depends on the amount of work that they want to put in. And if, you know, as a group, they want to get better and make that their goal, make that their focus for the year to come. So, but overall, I think it was a great summer. I'm excited for next summer already. You know, we've been done for 3 days and I'm already looking forward to next summer and the high school season as well. So, but it was good. It was good. I just want to take a second and, you know, I really appreciate all the work that not only the kids put in, but their parents. You know, it's really a group effort out there. I had a lot of parents that helped in, you know, the concession stand, helped with a lot of things around the park. I had dads, you know, donate their time to help, to coach. I had, you know, dads donate, and grandpas donate their tractor and things to help on the baseball field. My family, my dad's out there working all the time and he's not even coaching anymore. You know, my mom was out there helping in the concession stand, getting food and stocking up. My fiance helped in the concession stand. She helped work a couple nights, my sister. So I really appreciate all the help that we had, not only from the boys, but from everybody else. And then obviously the support that we get from our fans. You know, helper baseball has always been an important thing to not only the people in Price, and but in helper. I mean, those people in helper, they love that every summer, and they're out there watching regardless, you know, if they have a kid on the team or a relative or not. We get fans that have no ties to anybody that's on the team. They just love to come watch baseball. So I appreciate all those people as well.
Yeah, well, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time to come in. I know we'll have plenty more conversations in the near future with everything else you have going on. But, Coach, thank you again, and congratulations on the 2020 season.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jordan. Thank you.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return. We're live from the Auto Farm Studios here on 107.3 FM and 750 AM. So today we got to see the courts in Orlando as the NBA gets set to resume. Thursday we get some scrimmage games, and before you know it, we're going to resume the battle for a championship as 22 squads are in Orlando vying for a title. Now, with that being said, the NBA is so based on individuals. I mean, for crying out loud, we had a conversation about the MVP race this week, because the league made the announcement that all the awards will be decided before the NBA's restart. So going back to March, whatever was happening at that point in time, that's who wins the individual awards. And I really don't think we have this conversation in any other sport, at least not to the level that we do in the NBA. We love individual talk. And I think a lot of it has to do with the way the game is played today. The game of basketball can be so heavily impacted by one player. In the NFL, we can have conversations about $500 million contracts. We can have conversations about quarterbacks and running backs. But at the end of the day, football's the ultimate team sport. Major League Baseball, one of the greatest players, the best player in the game today, may go down as one of the greatest players of all time, Mike Trout. He's played in 3 playoff games. And we still view him the best player in Major League Baseball. That kind of logic does not apply in the NBA. We always have the greatest of all time talk I don't have that talk. People on social media love it. I'm telling you right now, if a guy played in three playoff games, I don't care if it's LeBron, Michael, Kobe, Magic, Bird, it doesn't matter. If a guy played in three playoff games in the NBA, nobody is going to talk about that man as being one of the greatest of all time. It's never going to happen. And so going back to what I said at the beginning of the show, I don't believe there will be an asterisk next to anything regarding this NBA season because we had 60 games before the stoppage. We played more games this season than we did in 99, and nobody discredits Tim Duncan's five rings to say he wins four. Nobody says that. Played more games this year than we did then. So this season matters. Don't act like it doesn't. I know that there are some teams that will not be at full strength, and I understand that a positive COVID test could affect things greatly once we get into the postseason. But guess what? An injury can impact the playoffs greatly every year, and it's no different. I think it matters. Which player needs an NBA championship the most? And right out of the gate, you're going to talk about the best players that are playing right now. Giannis. Giannis is 25 years old. He plays for the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't believe anyone expects Milwaukee to win a championship. Seriously. Maybe inside Milwaukee, but that's about it. If Giannis does not win an NBA championship, is anyone in Milwaukee going to discredit what this guy has accomplished? Is anyone going to discredit possibly a second MVP in Milwaukee? I don't think anyone discredits that. You look at the Houston Rockets, James Harden. I mean, this guy is scrutinized for a number of reasons. Doesn't play defense. Maybe he's a system-type player. He's a ball hog, gets away with traveling. He's perfect for Mike D'Antoni's system. He vanishes in the playoffs. He did that last year against Golden State in a series that they very easily could have won. I think a championship would help out James Harden. Anthony Davis, here's a guy that's going to receive a supermax contract when it becomes available. But Anthony Davis has had little to no success in the postseason. And I believe you can throw LeBron James into that category as well. I know he's won three championships, but I believe there are variables when considering what LeBron James has won. And I'll bring in Travis Anderson right now. We'll have this conversation. Travis, in your mind, who needs an NBA championship the most with the restart of this season?
I'm going to go Giannis, because I think when it's all said and done, Giannis is going to win the MVP award. What, that's back-to-back.
Two, yeah.
So for this guy, last year they were up, what, 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals, couldn't close the deal. I think it's Giannis, because if Giannis doesn't get it done this year, we're going to start putting the label on this guy that he can't get it done, and Milwaukee would squander two opportunities, really good opportunities, at trying to get it done. So I think it's Giannis.
Yeah, but it's Milwaukee. And I don't believe that anyone is going to look at Giannis, for what, he's 25 years old. I mean, he's got plenty of time left.
Plenty of time.
He's 25, and I don't believe that Milwaukee is going to be his end game. But let me throw one more argument your way. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar won six championships. Yes, he won five with the Los Angeles Lakers, but when you were debating Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's legacy, how often does it get brought up that he won a championship with the Milwaukee Bucks? How often do you hear that argument?
Never, because I don't think most people know he did that.
Those who do throw it out there, because it's so out of the norm. Yeah, he won with the Bucks, right? And I just don't know that anyone truly expects Milwaukee to win a championship.
I'm not picking him.
But see, I don't think the expectation's there. Now, I mentioned LeBron James a few moments ago, and I had this conversation with you. You may disagree with me. There are LeBron James, staunch LeBron James supporters. He has a contingency of fans that he can do no wrong. I mean, he is LeBron James. He is the chosen one. I believe it's flat-out embarrassing that this guy has only won three NBA championships. I truly believe it's embarrassing, and the reason I say that is because if you're going to mention LeBron James in the same category as Kobe, as MJ, as Magic, Kareem, Duncan, we're talking about the greatest of all time. There's one thing that LeBron has working against him that all the names I just mentioned. He has picked his spot everywhere he has gone. He has picked his spot, and he's only won three championships, and he's been in the league since he was 18 years old.
3-6, disappointing.
Needs
to get it done.
I don't care about how many times this guy went to the NBA Finals. I really don't, because out of the nine times that he's gone, it was out of the Eastern Conference.
Which stunk.
It was horrible. I look at LeBron James' resume and say, yes, it's impressive, but if we're talking legacy, I don't care about the MVPs. Nobody's going to bring up that argument. They will bring up that MJ has six championships.
And he did it all in Chicago. This is a guy who has bounced around the league his entire career. If it was Cleveland the first go around, if it was Miami, if it was Cleveland, if it was LA, he's bounced around. He's picked his spot. He only has three. Now, if you tell me, well, LeBron has three already, and I have to pick a player that is yet to win an NBA championship, because look, I'm going to throw Kawhi Leonard to me has accomplished more in terms of team winning than LeBron. Seriously, I believe he has. That guy won a championship with the Toronto Raptors. That guy won a championship with the San Antonio Spurs. That guy didn't pick his spot. He was dealt to Toronto. He picked his spot in LA.
It is. That's the first time, yeah. And what he did with Toronto is amazing, that he went there 1 year and won the championship. So, yeah, it's a great argument. So, I can see the LeBron. LeBron has to win in Los Angeles. He has to get it done.
He has to. Now, if he wins three championships with three different franchises, you can look at that and say, that's pretty impressive.
That's something that, you know, MJ or whoever, Duncan, didn't do.
Right. But, look, he won one in Cleveland, and he won two in Miami. And that was a letdown. And the reason it was a letdown is because of the expectations that he put on himself. He's the one that sat there and said they were going to win six or seven in a row. He's the one that said that. And so to me, I think LeBron has to win one. Now, if you're going to tell me, okay, well, he's already won three. You mentioned Giannis. And while I don't necessarily think it's a legacy buster for Giannis right now, I think it's more important that James Harden wins one. Because again, this guy is criticized. And right or wrong, I mean, you can say that James Harden is underrated, overrated, all you'd want. The bottom line is, this guy's one of the most unique scorers we have ever seen in the NBA.
He's just annoying.
Well, here's the big difference. He's 30, Giannis is 25.
Yeah, Harden's running out of time.
He is running out of time. And he doesn't have the excuse of help anymore, because he plays on a team that boasts one of the most aggressive general managers in the NBA. So I don't think you can use that as an excuse. To me, the clock is ticking on James Harden.
Yeah, you just can't win with that style. And that's why I don't think James Harden's ever going to win one in Houston. Just the way that team's built and the style that they play just doesn't work.
D'Antoni? He's not a championship coach. He's not.
He's an idiot.
He's not a championship coach. Somehow this guy lands job. He gets fired up. I don't know how that happens. He lands a better job every time he gets fired. But to me, I mean, that one of the most criticized players in the league today, it is James Harden. He is. He's one of the most criticized players in the league. You could sit here and knock his game a number of different directions, and I think that a championship for James Harden would be absolutely monumental. It's not going to happen. I mean, you can't roll out a 6'6", 6'7" big. I don't think they get past Utah. And if that's a first-round matchup, I don't think they get past the Jazz. I don't care if Boyan is out or not. I just don't believe that style is going to be sustainable. But if I can't pick LeBron, because again, I think it's embarrassing that he only has three championships. Really, the amount of hype that this guy has around him and the players, the level of talent that he has played with, it's embarrassing. If I can't say LeBron, I'm going to go James Harden just based off a sheer criticism standpoint. You know, if Chris Paul was playing with a likely contender, maybe you could say Chris Paul. Nobody expects anything out of OKC. And I don't know that anyone really has that high of expectations for Milwaukee. I really don't. I could be wrong, but I really don't.
I have a hard time picking Milwaukee to get to the finals this year. I think Toronto's better. So
I thought that all year.
Yeah, I'm going to go Giannis because I think he's going to win back-to-back MVPs. And I think last year that they were clearly the best team in the East and they just didn't get it done. And this year, it's set up nicely once again for him, and I just don't think he's going to get it done this year.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up. In fact, when we return, we'll put the final touches on this edition of the show. Live from the Auto Farm Studios.
I understand you're a real sports fan.
Well, then there's only one answer.
Turn on the radio. You'll never have to compromise again.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 750 AM.
We're back to close out this edition of Drive Time Sports. Again, live from the Auto Farm Studios. They say baseball has a way of policing itself. There's so many unwritten rules in baseball, it's something unlike any other sport. I mean, there's no unwritten rules in football or basketball. Maybe you'll see a hard foul inside the paint to send a message, or you'll see a linebacker deliver a brutal hit across the middle of the field. Still, though, Travis, I don't know if anything would hurt as bad as taking a 95-mile-an-hour fastball off of the hip or the elbow.
or right off the fingertips when you're holding the bat. So, yeah, it doesn't feel too good, I assume.
Well, the Houston Astros got off light. I think everybody would agree with that. And with there being no fans in the stands, the Astros aren't going to hear the boos. But that doesn't mean that other teams are ready to let what happened slide. Today, in a scrimmage game, the Astros go toe-to-toe with the Royals, and Houston wins 15-6. But three of Houston's best players, Jose Altuve, Alex Bregman, George Springer, all hit by a pitch. And Jorge Lopez actually hit Altuve and Bregman in back-to-back at-bats. I don't know if you'll see this when games count. You may see it when the games are out of reach. If Houston has like a 5-run lead, or if they're getting just trounced, you may see this. But in a game that ultimately doesn't mean anything, it's not shocking to see Lopez deliver back-to-back chin music bulls to Altuve and Bregman, and I think we see a lot more of this.
You're going to see a lot more of it because those guys in Houston, you know, ticked off a lot of other players around the league, so when those pitchers get that opportunity, they're going to take their shot.
Yeah, baseball polices itself. It's one of those really rare type of sports. You don't see that, like I said, from time to time, maybe you'll see it in football or basketball. It's a really rare occasion. We're going to see this a lot moving forward as we gear up for the baseball season. Now on the show tomorrow, we're going to talk a lot of Major League Baseball. We're going to preview everything that is up and coming. It's a shorter week of Drive Time Sports. We will be out of the studio on Friday, so we got a lot to cram in. I want to talk more NBA, preview the restart because we get scrimmage games on Thursday. The Utah Jazz will be back right here on KOAL. And we got a lot to get into with baseball as the season resumes on Thursday. Out of time today, he's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.